Halden Wang, John Halden Wang, formerly of Phoenix and now of Oregon, to ask the Lord's blessing on our service to follow. Brother John.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. And we come before thy throne of grace with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we thank you for the privilege of meeting here with those of like precious faith to study thy word and to fellowship together. We would ask thy blessing upon this symposium and pray that your word of truth may reach the hearts of each and every one of us, and that we might take something away with us that we might use in our heavenly walk. We ask forgiveness for anything we might do and say amiss, and we pray for thy kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. And all these things we ask and pray for in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Well, as you can see from your program, the first speaker will be Brother Jim Parkinson on the subject of prophecy. And in the interest of conserving time, he will introduce the next speaker, Brother Langford, and then Brother Langford will introduce Brother Rice.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Once again, it's a joy to be with everybody. Our scriptures this morning are in Romans 12, and we'll begin with the fourth verse, and before we're all through, we'll get through the eighth verse. Even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Now, we are to prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, and there are degrees, there are proportions, and we don't start with 100%, do we? That's something that is supposed to grow, and it should. But there is a danger. Before we embark on prophecy, we need to be sure we are not putting the cart before the horse. Because the study of prophecy without going through the prerequisite is about like wearing a ball and chain on your ankle when you're going off the diving board. There is a danger, and that danger is pride. We'll read in 1 Corinthians 13:9. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But pride tempts us to know in part and prophesy in full. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffeth up. And that's exactly what knowledge alone does. It inflates the ego. And that's what he's saying here. Knowledge inflates the ego. Knowledge puffeth up. But love buildeth up. Love is as love does. The doing for others builds one up. And if we're building from a solid structure, then the pride will not overtake us and sink us. Now, we can observe over perhaps the past 115 years, and we cannot profess to read the hearts, but the superficial evidences would be that over the past 115 years, more prominent brethren seem to have been overcome by pride than all enemies all other enemies put together. And an awful lot of brethren who are not prominent but would wish to be have also fallen to that same great enemy. But if we will conquer pride by the Lord's help and by the Lord's guidance and the experiences given to us, if our hearts are ready to do for others, then we are ready to proceed as respects prophecy, among other things. Do we prophesy? Well, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer which He taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are prophesying. And it is an important prophecy, important for us to believe and to act accordingly and to tell others, just as Jesus Himself did. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is our hope, not merely for ourselves, but for everyone, the whole world for whom Christ died. Now, all of us will hear more prophecy than we will speak, because there's more than two of us talking about prophecy. The Lord gave us two ears and only one mouth. That's a good guide. In Revelation 1:3, we're told a bit about prophecy. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy." Blessed is he, singular, that readeth, and they, plural, that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, if someone is explaining prophecy, and someone else is explaining prophecy, and a third one is, there may be four opinions. So, we also, in listening to explanation of prophecy, need to think carefully. Talk to the Lord about it, too, to screen it, to see what holds to the Scripture and what doesn't hold water. Now, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, the book of Revelation. There's sometimes we may wonder, is that really true? Well, we know it's true because the Bible says it, but in our own hearts and minds, is that really true, that blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy? Seems to me from time to time I've run into people who are a little off-center on prophecy, if not downright drunk on the book of Revelation. Perhaps it's because we haven't read far enough yet. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein. We have to go beyond the intellectual part. We have to keep the things that are written therein. We have a purpose now for understanding prophecy, and not so that we may act accordingly. Our brethren who lived in earlier times than we probably had a better understanding of the Antichrist than we, because they lived in the time when it dominated the world. And they needed a better understanding to know that this is a deception, that which professes Christ and acts like the devil. We in our time need to know whether the call has gone out, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." Now, in the book of Revelation, that being probably the most concentrated prophecy that we have in all Scripture, I'm sure that when we first read it, we tend to find it very difficult. And yet, it doesn't need to be difficult and shouldn't be, at least on the broad scale. If we read and study the Old Testament, we read and study the background of what Revelation is trying to reveal to us. With the Old Testament in mind, much of the book of Revelation becomes obvious. And then we can have confidence in the interpretation. In fact, when an interpretation is not obvious, we should be underconfident of the interpretation. That's not to say it's absolutely wrong any more than it is absolutely right because Brother so-and-so said it. Example, and this we won't go into in detail. When Joshua took the Lord's people to Jericho and they marched around the city seven times, there were seven priests that went around with the army. Each priest was given a trumpet, seven trumpets, on 7 days before the downfall of Jericho. And then on the last day, they marched seven times around the city, the priests blowing the trumpets again. We have lots of last day prophecies, don't we? Now, nowhere are we told specifically that Joshua at Jericho is a type. And yet Paul, in the two letters to the Thessalonians, presumes that they know all about it and that they know that it is a type. An example is 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 16, where the sequence of things is the reverse of the sequence that we see in Jericho on the last day. We'll go into that more another time, though. But in Joshua versus Jericho, and what does the name Joshua mean? Jehovah saves. And what is the Greek form of the name? Jesus. Joshua is a type of Jesus. They are both leaders of the Lord's people. And seven times, 7 days they went around the city, spans the gospel age, and the seven priests with the seven trumpets on those 7 days gives us our understanding in the book of Revelation. The seven trumpets, they span the gospel age. The seven priests blowing the seven trumpets at Jericho, the seven messengers to the seven churches blowing the seven trumpets, spanning the gospel age. And again, the seven messengers write the seven letters to the seven churches, spanning the gospel age. But they go seven times on the last day. And corresponding to that, we have the seven last plagues in Revelation, that the last day of the gospel age is also divided into three periods, or seven periods of time. And we could go on and mention these seven seals on the scroll as well. This one type in Joshua the sixth chapter gives us a framework for one third of the whole book of Revelation. Now, at the end, Jericho was burned, and that would seem to correspond to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. So not only in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 do we have Paul's reference to Joshua at Jericho, but also in the second epistle of Thessalonians, we have a reference to it in the burning destruction of this present world. Now, another one of the type prophecies given to us, which relates to these others, Lot was called out of Sodom on its last day. We might notice that In the case of Sodom, it was when the homosexuals desired to use the angels for homosexual purposes that the doom of the city was sealed right there within 24 hours. And when we look at what's happening in the world today and we hear about it, it sounds very much like Sodom. And Lot was called to come out of Sodom. Come out of her, my people, in Revelation 18:1-5. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And coming out, let's come out not only organizationally, but also completely in spirit. And one of the shortest scriptures that our Lord spoke, having come out, remember Lot's wife. Our time is winding up, so we go on now. The last day was divided into the seven last plagues in Revelation, corresponding to the seven circuits around Jericho on the last day. And we have another group of seven for seven last plagues in the Exodus picture. Now, the Exodus gives us a framework approaching memorial. At the Passover chapter in the sixth volume, it outlines it on the first two or three pages, how the period of the plagues represents this present evil world. After Moses, the leader of the Lord's people, has come to Egypt, there follow these 10 plagues. And at the end of three plagues, the plagues fall no more upon the Israelites, but only upon the Egyptians, as in Exodus 8:20-23, the Lord puts a division between my people and thy people, that there be no more plagues in the land of Goshen where my people dwell. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And then Moses takes the dominant role, no longer his spokesman Aaron. Even so, in the latter day, the last day, Christ at his return takes the dominant role, separates between the peoples. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, if the last day is divided into seven periods of time, might suggest that we have seen several different things happening in the last 100 or so years. The Lord's people have heard the call, come out of her, my people. We have had World War I. We've had a Great Depression, not just in this country, but worldwide. We have had World War II. And there's been an East versus West struggle, been going on until about the last 4 or 5 years. Among the plagues, we find some destructive and some annoying. One of the destructive plagues, number 5 of the last 7, was an east wind that brought locusts, suggests tribulations, as in John the Baptist eating locusts beneficially, brought locusts into all the borders of Egypt. And a mighty west wind then came and drove them all out again. Suggests this may well correspond to what we have observed in world events since World War II, the east wind or communist world bringing the tribulations into all the borders of Christendom, but the mighty west wind is prevailing. The following plague was a plague of darkness, thick darkness that could be felt. This would suggest a depression would be our next major world event. If so, let's be watchful. Let us not be dogmatic. Let us be watchful. And at the same time, it would suggest to us, Romans 13:8, is it? Owe no man anything but love. Don't go into debt. Get out of debt as fast as you can. Only because of not getting ourselves into trouble? No. No. our chief motivation should be that the ministry be not blamed. Now, we've taken just a quick look at several different prophecies of different degrees of confidence and importance to illustrate the actual use of prophecy in our lives and in guiding our Christian activity. But we must go on. And so at this point, Brother Langford will tell us about the ministration or the ministry.